Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kisubos, Daf Kuf Beis. And we are going to begin on Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, but a brand new 12th Perek, Hanosei Se'isha. So we begin at the new Mishnah, about a third of the way down, Kuf Aleph Omid Beis. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Abraham Tabachnik, Avroam Ben Alter Yaakov, Natan Schlossinger, Natan Meir Ben Chaim Baruch. All the Nishamas that we learned for should have an Aliyah from all learning. So we begin the 12th Perek. Hanosei Se'isha, if a man goes and marries a woman, Uposku imo, and in order for her to agree to marry him, she says, listen, I have a child, and I want you to sustain my child. I want you to support this child for 5 years. Kidei, she yozun es bita chomei shonim. She had a child from a previous marriage, and she only agrees to marry him if he agrees to support her child, a bita, a daughter, from a previous marriage for a period of 5 years. So the din is, the Mishnah tells us, chayev lezona chomei shonim. He obviously is obligated to do this, because he agreed to do this. The Gemara will ask, but this is Pasha, and the Gemara will explain why it has to teach us this dip. Now, Nisei Sliacher, if this woman, Nebuch, got divorced from this now second husband, right? She'd married previously, had a child, so this new husband just divorced her. So now she gets remarried again to a third husband altogether for her, a second husband that she agrees to marry if he'll support her daughter for 5 years. Uposki mo, she agrees with this new husband that he's also going to support the daughter for 5 years. Kidei shiyazun es bito chameshanim. So she now has the second husband supporting this daughter for 5 years, and now this third new husband is going to support the daughter for 5 years as well. Chayev lezona chameshanim. The Mishnah tells us they have to go and each separately support her. Now, obviously, she's not going to eat twice as much, so one will give her food, and one will give her the money equivalent of that 5 years worth of food. So they can't say, lo yoma harishon, the first husband would agree to support her, which is again the second husband of all, because she has the first husband that she had the daughter with. So according again, the first husband she had the daughter with, we're not really counting him at all in the Mizonos, he's out of the picture. And the second husband who would agree to support for 5 years, and then the third husband agreed to support for 5 years. So we call the second husband over here Harishon, lo yoma harishon, this first of the two husbands that agreed to support the daughter, cannot say, I will only support her, le che she tovo etzli, azuna. If she will go and come to me, I'll support her. It's much easier to support somebody in your own house rather than have to send them separate food. So therefore, in this situation, he says, I'll only support her if she comes to me. He can't say that. Elo, what must he must do? Elo molich lomaz anosea, lemakom she imo. He has to go bring the food that he agreed to support her with, to the place where the mother is. And we learn out from here, and the Gemara will discuss this, that the daughter has the right to live with the mother, and that's the best thing for the daughter to do, live with the mother in this situation. Furthermore, v'chein lo yumshteyam, second husband and third husband, don't each of them agree to support for 5 years, can't say, listen, we'll support you together. I'll pay half, the second husband says, the third husband says, I'll pay half. No, they can't do that. V'chein lo yumshteyam, the two of them can't say, harayonu zonu no sokiyachet, we'll give her enough food, she's not going to starve, but we're each going to give 50% of what we had promised because altogether she'll have 100% of the food that she needs. No, they each said they're going to give her support. And therefore, they can't do this as one. They can't say, Hare onu zonen oso ki echad. El, what must they do? Echad zonen. One actually gives her the food. The echad nosin lo demei mezonos. And the other will have to give her the value of that food. In other words, each will have to pay 100% of their obligation. One will give food, and one will give the value of the money, of the food in money. Now, what happens if this girl, Baruch Hashem, she grows up, the daughter that's being supported grows up, and she gets married, nises. So, habal nosi lo mizonos. Now, her husband is obligated to give her mizonos, so the husbands of her mother, husband number two of her mother, husband number three of her mother, so you might think that they're no longer required to support this girl. The answer is no. They nosi lo demei mizonos, since the husband of the girl is giving her the real mizonos, so the husband of the mother, husband number two, and husband number three of the mother, each have to send the money equivalent of that mizonos to the girl. Now, Rabbanu Litzlan, if the second husband and the third husband passed away, mesu, so their nechosim are going to be inherited by their sons, by whoever's inheriting them, but this is an obligation that the estate has to still support that daughter that they had agreed to support. So, binosehen, their own daughters, nizonos minichas b'necharim. There is a rule that the daughters will be entitled to support. If there's an estate that's a very small amount, so then the daughters will be entitled to support, and they're entitled to support from that estate, but only from properties that are extant, from what we call minichasim b'necharim. They can't go to a lien on a prior property that their father had sold and be supported. However, this girl, who they had both agreed to support, Nizones min chos mishabadim. She can actually go to leaned property, property that he had sold subsequent to their deaths, and in that situation, she has the right to, because she has a prior shibur on them. Ipnei she kibalasko, because the money that they agreed to give her 5 years of support is like a chov. It's like an IOU, and therefore the IOU trumps even giving their own daughters support. Now, habichim, in order to get around this, that they're not held to support this girl for 5 years no matter what. So if they were smart, hapikchem, if these husbands were smart, when they agreed to support this girl, they would have said, hoyukosu, they would write down, and we'll see, lav davka, they have to write it down, they could actually just say it, al minas she'ozun etzbitcho chomishonim, we will agree to support your daughter for 5 years, but only kozman she'at imi, if you're still married to me. But if you're not married to me, then I no longer have any requirement to support your daughter. Okay, that's the Mishnah. A lot of stuff was said. Now we're going to go and discuss this more in the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, "Itmar." We learned in the base Medrash, "Ha'omer lechaveiro." If a person says to his friend, "Chayav ani lechamone," I am obligated to you to give you a mona, $100, meyazuz. So Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav. Rav Yochanan says, just the fact that he said to his fellow, "I'm obligated to give you the money," so he obligates himself and he has to give him $100, the mona, the 100 zuz. That's what Rav Yochanan says. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish says, "Potter, he doesn't have to go and pay the money." Now, what's the machlokis? Hechidam, what are they talking about? Idi amaluhu, if the person said in front of witnesses, "Atem edai, you go and be the witnesses, and I admit that I owe him $100, this mona," so then everybody would agree that he'd have to pay it. My time to Rish Lakish, the potter. So why would Rish Lakish say that you're potter in that situation? And if there were no edim over there, idi lo amaluhu, atem edai, and if he didn't say to anybody, "You'll be the witness of this," so then why would Rav Yochanan say that you have to pay? My time with Rav Yochanan to call mechayev. Why would Rav Yochanan say that you have to pay in that situation? As Rashi points out, "Diva Masel, my time with Rav Yochanan, Hakaimelon." We've learned elsewhere in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that it says the tzarach shiomar etam atem edai. If there is to be a verbal debt over here, so there has to be in front of edim. Otherwise, as Tosus points out in Diva Masel idlo omelhu, so he says he could just be saying mishum mishata anibach, I'm just having a good time with you, I was fooling you, or some other similar type of an answer, and therefore if there's no edim there, so then the Gemara in Sanhedrin clearly said that even Rav Yochanan would admit, everybody admits that he doesn't obligate himself by just saying so. So what is the case over here? Either it's clearly not like Rav Yochanan, or it's clearly not like Rish Lakish. What's going on? So one says, the olam, the lo kamaluhu, atimeda. You're right. We're dealing here with a case where he didn't designate the witnesses. So therefore, if he designated the witnesses, even Rish Lakish would say that he'd have to pay. So here he didn't designate the witnesses. So why does Rav Yochanan say he'd have to pay? Because in this situation, the amalei chayav ani lechomone bishtar. He wrote this down on a document, but he didn't sign his name to it. And Rashi explains that he did give it in front of witnesses. So in this situation, that's where Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish have the machlokas. So Rav Yochanan, Amar Chayav, Rav Yochanan says in this situation that the man would be obligated to pay this debt that he admitted to by writing it, because the giving over of this shtar is in front of the witnesses is as if he designated them as witnesses. Alima milso de shtara keman de amalu atem edai domi. As if he said to them that you are the witnesses for this document. And therefore, Rav Yochanan says, you're chayav. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish Amar Potter. He says, "Lo alima milso de shtara." No, that unsigned document, even though it was handed over in front of witnesses, doesn't turn into a obligation for the person. Now, our Mishnah seems to agree with Rav Yochanan. Tanah, we learned that our Mishnah knows he is a isha posk imo losu nisbito chomishonim chay lozono chomishonim. We said in the Mishnah when the husband agreed to marry this woman, so she said, "I'm only marrying you if you agree to support my daughter for 5 years," and he said, "Yes." Now, how did he say this? If he has a signed document, so the bottom Rashi tells us, then what would be the question? If there was the avishtar chosum biyoda mylemema, the very last words of the last Rashi on the daf, so then it wouldn't be a question. Everybody would agree that, of course, he has to support it. So isn't it my lav ki hai gabna? Aren't we talking about here that he handed her an unsigned document? He didn't sign it. It was written in his handwriting, and he handed it in front of witnesses. And our Mishnah says that the man is obligated. So it sounds like it's going like Rabbi Yochanan, Akasha, and Rish Lakish. We turn to Kuf Beis of an Aleph, where the Gemara says, "Lo, we're not talking with that. You know what this document was at our Mishnah? Bishtare psikta." It's talking about the document that is made when the chosan and kala and their respective parents get together and agree to the marriage, and they make certain documented statements that aren't effectuated through a kinyan, but just for the fact that there's going to be kedushin. So this, I'll give this much, and they say I'll give this much. So when they then had the kiddushin, so that document, the documents, how much each of them said, even though it wasn't signed, is in fact going to be a valid kinyan. And that's called the shtari psikta. And this goes in accord with Rav Gidl Amar Rav. What did Rav Gidl want to say? Because Rav Gidl Amar Rav, Gidl Amar Rav, Rav Gidl said the name of Rav, Kama Atano saying, the Chassan's family will say, how much are you going to give? And the Kala's family will say the same thing. So Kama Atano saying Lebincha, so they ask, how much are you giving for your son? And they say, Kach v'kach. So the father of the Chassan says this much. And then they ask the father of the Kala, Kama Atano saying Lebincha, how much are you giving for your daughter? And Kach v'kach is this much. And then Omdu v'kitchu, they then go and have the Kiddushin. Some suggest that's me right now, others say it could even be later on. Kanu. So those statements that they made are considered halachically obligations that you can't retract them once the Kiddushin occurs. And therefore, Hainin Hadvarim Haniktin Ba'amira. It is going to take effect with just the verbalization. So that's what happened over here as well. That this was at the time of the Kiddushin, so they put this in. He said, I will agree to support for 5 years, and therefore that's how it took effect. But Lav Davka, that there's a riot to Rav Yochanan in his statement about the strength of the shtar as if it was given over in front of witnesses. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tashma, we'll try to bring another proof to Rav Yochanan. This one wasn't a good proof. We'll get back to this idea in a few moments, but this one wasn't a good proof to Rav Yochanan's position, but we'll try again. We have the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Bechoros, where it says, Kosa v'kohen shani chai v'chachamim shloim. They want to do a pidgin haben, and the man says to the kohen, listen, I owe you 5 shloim, the pidgin haben money. So, chai v'litein lo, chachamim shloim. So, he wrote it down in this fashion, and he's obligated to give the kohen 5 shloim. However, ubeno eino padi. This doesn't accomplish a pidgin haben. And the obvious question is, why not? After all, he gave him the 5 shloim. So, why is it not considered a valid payment for the pidgin haben? Now, according to Rav Yochanan, everything seems to work out fine because he wrote that when you write it in a document that you owe somebody 5 shloim, you have to go and pay it. So therefore, we understand this Mishnah seems to be in accord with Rav Yochanan. Albeit in a minute, we'll ask, so why isn't the child considered to be podeh when the pidgin haben should be taking effect once he pays the 5 shloim? We'll ask that in a moment. But here you see that just the fact that he wrote down in this shtar that I owe you 5 shloim, so boom, that takes effect like Rav Yochanan. But it doesn't take effect according to Reish Lakish. So it's a kasha on Reish Lakish, because here it says it does take effect, and he has to give him the 5 shloim. So Reish Lakish would answer, no, that's different. Shiny Hassan, why is that? Because the mishubad lay midaraisa, the pidgin haben is a daraisa obligation. So his stating so isn't, even according to Reish Lakish, the obligating factor. It's the fact that there's a pidgin haben chiv minatorah that makes the obligation go through, and therefore he has to go and pay the 5 shloim. So Gemara says, so then why'd you have to even write it down? Ihachi am I kasa. So what was the purpose of writing it down over here? So Gemara says, no, that had a purpose, because they levar lo kohen. He was basically saying, as Rashi says, the Diva Maska levar lo kohen, shlo yitnenu the kohen acher. He was basically saying to his friend Aaron HaKohen, I'm going to give you the pidgin haben money and not going to go find another kohen to give it to. So he was, finalizing that for all posterity that he would do so. But the obligation to give the 5 shloim was a shibud midaraisa, and therefore that's not the reason why the shtar obligates him, and therefore Reish Lakish has a problem. Where it says, if this is so, ihachi, so bino amai eno padri. If there is a giving of the 5 shloim over here as a shibud daraisa, so then why isn't the child considered padri? So the child should have had a pidgin haben. Why does he still need a pidgin haben? So that goes in accord with the Kiddu Ula. That goes in what Ula said. And this is the Gzeira over here. What's the Gzeira? The Amar Ula. Ula said, in fact, as soon as you give the 5 shloim, we do say that the child doesn't require pidgin haben. He is considered padui. Aye, why over here do we say he's not padui? Well, my time Amru b'no ain't a padui because of the Gzeira. What's the Gzeira? Shema yomru podi mishtaros. Because people may think, oh, this shtar fulfilled the obligation to go and have the pidgin haben. So they'll mistakenly say, well, if I give somebody an IOU, somebody owes me 5 shloim, so I'll just transfer over that note of indebtedness to the kohen. And now the kohen can go collect that, and it's as if I gave the kohen 5 shloim. So that's not good. You have to actually give the kohen money. You can't give it, as Rashi points out, you're not allowed to go and give this through any other mechanism. You can't give this through shtaros, lo bekarkos, and not be avodim. So therefore, you have to actually give the money. So therefore, in this situation, if a shtar is no good, but we allow the shtar here to, when you pay the 5 shloim, to be considered a valid payment, it could lead people to think that if you give them an IOU, so that would also satisfy the pidgin haben. So therefore, this is a gzera, as Ula says, and we don't allow it. So therefore, it's not a problem for Yochanan, it's not a problem for Shlokish. Everything figures out to be perfectly in accord with both shitas. Now the Gemara says, let us say this machlokes of Yochanan Shlokish is actually machlokes tanoim. Omer Rabba kit tanoi. It's actually machlokes tanoim. What is that? When you have an Ariv is a person who guarantees a loan. But here, the Ariv comes after the loan has already occurred, and he writes on the bottom of the document, and I'll guarantee it. So Ariv hayotze achar chitum shtaros. So Ruvi lends Shimon money, and along comes Levi and says, if Shimon can't pay back the money, I will go and be the person that Ruvi and you can come to collect the money. So in this situation, Gove min nechosim b'nei chorin, Ruvi can come to ultimately to the Ariv and collect from only extant property that he has, but he can't go and collect from lien property because there is no shame to this over here. At the time that the loan was documented with the shtar, which has a certain piercing to it, so nobody's going to know that there was an arev, and therefore nobody's going to protect themselves when they go and have a dealing over here with the arev, because they'll not have any knowledge that he has this prior commitment that's going to potentially put them into trouble. So therefore, you can only go collect from Levi, this arev, with extant properties. Nechosim b'nei chorin. Now, that's what the Mishnah in Bechoris tells us. And on this, we have a machlokas with Rabbi Yishmael and Benanis. Ma'isa bol of Nevi Yishmael, a certain case came in front of Yishmael to adjudicate. And he said, in this situation, exactly this case, Govim and Nichosim b'nei Chorin, the Ruvain who had lent the money to Shimon, and then Levi had said, you can collect from me after it was already signed and sealed and delivered. So Ruvain went to collect from Levi, but he only was able to collect from Nechosim b'nei Chorin. That's what Rabbi Yishmael said. But although Benanis disagreed, he said, "Eno gove lo min chosim b'nei chorin, lo min chosim b'shubad." You certainly can't collect from the chosim b'shubad, but you can't even go collect from the chosim b'nei chorin. Benanis seems to say that there is no validity over here to his signing on the document. Now, amalo, Rabbi Shmuel says to Benanis, "Why, lama? Why not? What was wrong over here?" So amalo, Benanis says back to Rabbi Shmuel, "Harisho yachonek es chaver b'shuk. If somebody were to go and strangle somebody else in the marketplace. What does this mean? You have a person, Reuven, who lent money to Shimon, and he's giving him a really hard time. And Levi watches all this. So somebody sees this. Levi watches all of this, and he says, he says to Reuven, don't worry, leave him alone, and I'll go give you the money. So, okay, Reuven stops badgering Shimon, lets him go free, stops strangling him, so to say, and he then wants to go collect from Levi. So the din is, Benanis says, Potter. Because Shalom al Amnoso Hilvo, because at the time of the loan, Ruvain lent Shimon money, there was no Levi in the picture, and nevertheless he lent it to him. So therefore, Levi is not in this picture, and Levi is just, so to say, protecting this person from being strangled in public, and his statement that I'll pay the loan has absolutely no validity to it. So that's the machlokes between Shmuel and Benanis. We want to suggest now that that's the same machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Let us say Leimah, Rav Yochanan and Demarki Rishmuel. Rav Yochanan says, like Rav Yishmuel, that you can collect with this. Granted, you can only collect from Nechasin B'nei Chorin, but that's a totally different reason why you can't go to Nechasin B'Shubadim, because there's no way to people to know about this. So you can only collect from Nechasin B'Shubadim if it was a well-publicized document. Here there was nothing that was publicized, and therefore you can only collect from B'nei Chorin. But you can collect from B'nei Chorin because he obligated himself with this statement that he would be the Arev when he signed at the bottom of it, so he obligated himself. So Rav Yochanan holds like Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish domer k'Benanis, who Benanis says no, you can't collect from anything. So that's like Rish Lakish says you can't collect from anything. Someone says no, that's not it. Aliba the Benanis, according to Benanis' opinion, you're right. Kuliyam lo pligi, and we turn to Kuf Beis on Aleph. According to Benanis, there is absolutely an agreement that Rish Lakish holds like Benanis, and Rav Yochanan must disagree with Benanis. So in that respect, you're right. That could be correct, that there's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish in regards to Benanis. However, ki pligi aliba the Rish Mal. You can say that Rish Lakish doesn't hold like Rabbi Yishmael, as we'll see in a second. Because, granted, Rav Yochanan ki Rabbi Yishmael, certainly Rav Yochanan fits with Rabbi Yishmael, as we already pointed out. But Rish Lakish says, hey, me too. Rish Lakish says, I'd kind of look on Rabbi Yishmael awesome. The only reason why Rabbi Yishmael said in that case was El Bishayach Le Shibudu Daraisa. Because there, in regards to a guarantor, an Arid, that's a Shibud Daraisa. So therefore, a simple oral statement would work over there according to Rabbi Yishmael. That's because of Shibud Daraisa. In our case, there is no Shibud Daraisa. It's only a Lo Shayach Shibud Daraisa. It's just him saying so, and therefore, Rish Lakish says, Rabbi Yishmael would agree with me in that situation. So Rish Lakish doesn't want to be locked into a machlokas between Rish Shmuel and Benanis, saying that Rav Yochanan holds like Rish Shmuel and I hold like Benanis. No, Rish Lakish says, I could hold like Rav Shmuel or I could hold like Benanis. And therefore, don't say this is a machlokas tanai. Goof, we go back to the statement that we made a few minutes ago. I said we'd get to it again. Amr Gidl Marav, Gidl Marav said, Kama atanosin libincho. When the father of the chassan and the father of the kala are getting together to arrange the wedding, they're making the tanoim, so to say, and the father of the chassan is asked, how much are you going to give? And he says, kach v'kach. And the father of the kala is asked, kama atanosin libincho, and he says, kach v'kach. So each of them pledged a certain amount of money to the wedding. And omdu v'kidshu, so they got up and they made kiddushin kanu. In this situation, the oral statements that they made, how much kach v'kach that each one of them said, is now binding. Heinein hadvarim haniknim v'yamira. Both of these statements were not made a kinyan and were not signed as a document, but they now when they write this up afterwards, so these are the things that are niknim just by their stating so, by their saying it. Amar Rava, Rava qualifies, he says, Mistar b'milso, this makes sense, the Rav b'bito nara. This statement that Rav had made is making sense if it's dealing with a nara, because then the father of the girl gets the kesef kiddushin, to call mate hano liyadeh, and therefore that's why this can work, because he's getting something tangible, the kesef kiddushin, and therefore his verbalization of, I will give this and this, can take effect. Abba Bulgaris, if you're dealing over here where he's marrying off his daughter, who's a Bulgaris, so he doesn't get the Kesef Kedushin. The daughter gets the Kesef Kedushin, so the Lo Mati Ano Liyadei, the father doesn't get it, so lo. So then, Rava says that Rav's statement over here would not work. The statement of Rav Gidl Amar Rav wouldn't work, at least in theory, if she was a Bulgaris. But then he says, but that's not true, Valukim. Rava himself says, but I heard Rav say, Amar Rav, Afilu Bulgaris, that this works even for a Bulgaris. Now, there's no Kesef Kedushin that comes to the father, why should it work? But he says, because the Ilo Temari, if you don't agree that the Hein Hein Dvarim Haniknim Biamira, if you don't say that that applies over here, so then Abi Habein, the father of the Chassan, so my Hano no Osli Day, he got no Hanoah, and yet we say it works for him, so too, even though the father of the Kala gets no Hanoah, because let's say she's a Bulgaris, he doesn't get the Kassadushin, it still works. So how does it work then? So Rabbi says, Ella Bahi Hanoah, the Komichasne Adade. The fact that both of the fathers so happy to marry off the son and the daughter respectively to each other, so therefore gamre umakne lahadade. So because of this great simcha about having their children marry, so the father of the chasa, the father of the kala, so just by their amira in that situation, the hanah that they get for marrying off their children, that is what makes the kinyan over here hein hein dvarim haniknim bi amira. Okay, Marketina says I'm only Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says Ravashi dvarim halalu. Nitnu likasev olo nitnu likasev. So once you have these financial agreements that are made, are you allowed to write them down? Or you're not allowed to write them down. Rashi di Ramaschu nit likasev says nitnu chachamim kesiva ledovar. Do they give the okay to write this down? In bol ahachtim edim bedvarim halalu shehem below kinyan. Since there was no kinyan over here, nevertheless, if they write this down in a document, they can go and collect with it. Or do we say lo nitnu likasev? The lo litrof mimushu body. If you write it down, then you can collect from lien property. So therefore, this could lead to a tremendous takala if you're not allowed to write this down. So therefore, are you allowed to write this down or not? Because that could have an afkamina in collecting from lien property. And that's the question that Ravina asks Ravashi. So Ravashi answers him and he says, Amalei, lo nit and likasim. You're not allowed to go write it down because, again, you can mistakenly then collect from nechasim mishubadim, which you're not allowed to do. Mora says, wait a second, Eisve. Ravina wasn't happy with his terrors from Ravashi and he says, ha-pikhin, ho-yu kosrin. We said it on Mishnah, at the very end of the Mishnah, that if you want to avoid being locked into payment for 5 years, even if you divorced the woman, so the smart ones would write down how you kosher. Almanas, sha'ozun is bitchol, chameshonim, kozman sha'ati mi. They would say, I agree to support your daughter for 5 years as long as we're married. But they would write it down. So here you clearly see that you are allowed to write it down. So how can you say lo nitnu likasev? You see, clearly, nitnu likasev. So one says, no. The word kosin over here doesn't mean kosin. My kosin, it means omrim. It means you just have to say it. Mor says, really? Bekar le lamir kesiva? Do we find any place else where kesiva is referred to something that was done by Amira? Bekar le lamir kesiva? Mor says, yeah, in. Happens all the time. But not. We learned in the following Mishnah. We just had this a couple of weeks ago. Hakosiv liishto dinu dvar men li binichasayich. If a man writes to his wife, don't worry, I don't want to get into litigation with you. I won't go and take you to court. V'tani Rabbi Chiya ha'omer li'ishto. It meant over there, ha'omer, he said, he didn't have to write it, even if he said it, that's good enough. So here you clearly see that we sometimes will call kesiva amira. Or says still Toshma, we still have a problem over here with Ravashi said that you're not allowed to write it down. Because the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Bava Basra, tells us, in Kosim Shtari Erisim V'Nisuin, it says, Beferish, you're not allowed to write down Shtari Erisim V'Nisuin, Ella Midashtem, unless both parties agree to it, the Chosin and the Kala, so then if they both agree to it, then you can write it down. That implies, Homidashtem Kosir, that if they both agree to it, you are allowed to write it down. Now, aren't we talking here, my lav shtari psikta? Isn't this referring to exactly this type of thing, the shtari psikta? And you see that you're allowed to write it down if both sides agree to it. So how can you, Rav Ashi, say, lo nitnu likosev? If both sides agree to it, it is likosev. So what says, no, lo, shtare erisin mamish. This is not talking about shtari psikta. This is talking about the actual shtar of the erisin, that you can get married, bekesev shtar ubiya. And this is talking about getting married with the shtar. So this is Shtari Erisin Mamish, the Rapapa of Rav Sharavia. And this goes in accord with Rapapa of Rav Sharavia said. They said the following. Kosu lishma v'shlomidaita. If you were to write an Erisin Shtar to get married, and it was written lishma for the sake of a certain woman, however, v'shlomidaita, but she didn't know about it, right? You want to surprise her, but that's not going to be good. So Rabba v'Ravina, Omre mikudeshes. Rabba and Ravina say that's good enough. However, Rapapa, Rav Shravya, Amre, Eino Mikudeshes. They say, you're not Mikudeshes in this situation. So therefore, according to Rapapa and to Rav Shravya, the Mishnah is teaching us over here about a Shtar Erisin, that will not work unless both sides have Das and both sides agree to it. Shlo, this be Lishma and Midaita. So therefore, there's no proof against Rav Ashi. Try again. Or it says, Toshma. Let's learn from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Mesu, for Chmono's son, the second husband dies and the third husband dies. So he said, their daughters, Benoseim, Nizonos, Benchos, Becharim, they're only allowed to be supported from extant properties. But this daughter of their former wife, who they agreed to support, she is entitled to Nizonos, Benchos, Mishubadim. She can even collect from prior leaned property because they're treating her as a Balaschov. Mibneshik Balaschov. So therefore, how can you tell me that you're not allowed to write it down if you can collect from Nechasa Mishubadim? It obviously must be written down. So it says, no, not necessarily. They made a kinyan over here. Everybody agrees if you made a kinyan, then you can go collect. Then it's a valid, full-fledged kinyan and you can collect from Nechasa Mishubadim. It says, well, they made a kinyan for the wife's daughter, so Ihachi, so then Banos Nami. So then why didn't they make a kinyan for their daughters as well? If they had agreed to go and support them, so they should be able to do so. If they made a kinyan, no reason to assume made a kinyan in one case and they didn't make a kinyan in the other case, so therefore why shouldn't the daughters also be able to collect? So says, no, Bishukana Luzu, Lokana Luzu. No, they only made a kinyan for this wife's daughter, but they didn't make it for their own daughters. Where it says, no, my Pascha, why would you say that? Why would you think that there should be a dichotomy over here in the case? Either you made a kinyan for both of them, or you didn't make a kinyan for either of them. So it says, you're right. Ihi, in the case, however, of the wife's daughter, the Havia Bishas Kinyan, so she was already alive at the time of the Kiddushin. So therefore, they inserted that into the Kiddushin. However, Mahane Lo Kinyan, that's why the Kinyan will work. However, the Benos, the daughters, they're not born yet. The Lo Havia Bishas Kinyan, so therefore, Lo Mahane Lo Kinyan, so therefore the Kinyan can't work for them. More questions, it says, Mi Lo Askinan, the Havia Bishas Kinyan, why should you say that their daughters weren't alive at the time of the Kinyan? They were married previously. So they were previously married, they got divorced, and now he's Machshir Gushasa, which is allowed as long as she didn't get married to somebody else. So again, we're left with our original assumption. Why should there be any difference between the daughter of the wife and their own daughters? Either both should collect or both should not collect from the Chosim Mishubadim. So it says, you're right, Ella, the difference between them is as follows. In the case of the wife's daughter, the Leisa Bitnai Beisdin, there was no obligation for that Mazonus from Beisdin. So that was specifically instituted because of this document. So therefore, Mahane Lo Kinyan. So a Kinyan will take effect in that situation. However, his children, his daughters, Benos, the Istu B'Tanai Beisdin, they're considered entitled to support by the Tanai Beisdin. From Beisdin's perspective, that's considered something that they're entitled to. Therefore, Lo Mahane Lo Kinyan. Therefore, a Kinyan won't work. Moore says, really? A Kinyan won't work? Lo Shem Bisnia Migra Gori, Rashi says. Why should it be worse? Because they have entitlement for Beisdin. So why shouldn't a Kinyan work then? So Gemara says, you're right. That can't be the answer either. Ella, what's the difference between the wife's daughter that she can collect from Nechashim Shibadim and their own daughter that cannot collect from Nechashim Shibadim? So Ella, Binosav, Hainu Taim, the reason for his daughter's not being able to collect is Kibon, the Isnu B'tai Beisdin, Emar Tsurari Apisinu. Since this was a Tanai Beisdin, so therefore the people who would be Mishubad with the properties, so they could say, listen, we believe that the father over here gave them already Tsurare Itusinu. They took money. They took some little bits of the entitlement that they were already entitled to while their father was still alive. And therefore, we're not paying it. So there's no way to disprove that. So therefore, can only collect from extant properties, not Chos Mishubadim, as opposed to the wife's daughter. So there's no reason to think that the stepfather, the husband of the mother of the girl, in fact, went and gave them a prepayment, so to say, what they're entitled to in terms of mizonos. So therefore, that's the distinction between the wife's daughter and their own daughters. The wife's daughter can collect from the Chosim Shubadim, and his own daughter cannot. Okay, let's get back to the Mishnah, where we quote, the Mishnah says, Lo Yom HaRishon, the first one can say that if you bring it to me, I'll go and feed her. So Amar Rechisa says, Zoso Meres, this comes to teach us that Bas Eitzel Ima, that the daughter's place is with the mother. And granted, it's going to cost him a little bit more money, not a feeder, but it's worth it because she'll be with her mother. So Gemara says, how do you say that? Mimai de b'gdola skina. Who says we're talking about a gdola? Maybe dilma b'ktana skina. Maybe we're talking over here about a young girl. Now, what difference does it make if it's an older girl or a younger girl? Umishum maisa shahaya. Once was a very tragic situation that happened to a young girl, and that is as follows. The Tanya, we learn the following b'risa. Misha meis v'niach bein katan imo. Somebody died, Debach, and he left a little boy to be taken care of, right? And the mother, the wife of the guy that died, is taking care of this child. So the Yarshia Av, so the inheritors of his father's estate, say, listen, Omim, hey God, let's lay down. Bring her to us, and we'll be happy to go feed her. It's much easier to feed a person when you're already feeding everybody else in the house. To add on one person for dinner is not such a big deal, as opposed to you have to go buy a separate dinner for that person. But the mother of this girl says, no, hey, Bini, God let's leave. I want to raise my son. You have to send money to support him. That's the Tanaya de Ksuba. So Gemara says, Manichin oso Eitzel Imo. We allow the little child to stay with the mother. Manichin oso Eitzel Royal Yarshon. We don't give it to the inheritors. Why? Because Maiso Haya, the once was such a Maiso, when he gave it to the inheritors, Shkatu. Now here we have the Girsa, Ayin Reish Hey, which is an abbreviation for Erev Horishon. That's what it says in the Masoros HaShas. I'll explain this in a moment. Let's leave it as Erev Horishon right now. In other words, they killed the kid on the first night because he was inherited with them. So for argument's sake, he had two older brothers and they're not happy that they have to share the estate with a younger brother. So what they did was they killed him on the first night that they could. They said, oh, he died, so sad. And now they split the estate 50-50. Then happy to each take only a third of the cut. So therefore, that Maisa Shahaya says we don't leave a katan by the inheritors of the estate because we're afraid that they'll kill him. But you can't bring me a raya that if the girl was an older girl, then in fact that she would take care of herself, they're not going to kill her, and therefore that in that situation, maybe she would have to go and live with the estate and not go live with her mother. So Mor says that's not true. Im Kain, if that's a situation that you want to distinguish and say that an older girl goes to the estate and a younger child goes to live with the mother, so then im kain, lisne lemakom shehi, that they should bring the mezonos to the girl wherever she is. If the girl is a ketana, it should be by the mother. If the girl is a gedola, it should be by the estate. So therefore, it should have just said, lisne lemakom shehi, wherever she is, that's where the mezonos go. But that's not what it said. We turn to kuf gimel omer aleph. What does it mean then, my lemokum she'ima? It's specifically said across the board, without any exception, she always goes to the mother. Shamas mina. We learn from here, bas etzala aim, lo shna gedola, lo shna ktana. We don't make any distinction between going to the mother, whether she's an older girl or a younger girl. Now, I just want to point out something very fascinating. The girsa that we just had was Erev Horishon. Now, originally, the girsa was Erev HaPesach. That's what the abbreviation stood for. Rav Shneur Lyman Shlita gave a very beautiful shiur once that when they printed the new Vilna Shas in the late 1880s, there was a blood libel, Rachman HaLitzlan, in a place called Tisse Esler, and they were accusing the Jewish people of, again, Rachman HaLitzlan, killing babies to have blood for Pesach. So when they had this girsof here of Erev HaPesach, so therefore there was a tremendous pressure that this would be a proof. They would use this as a proof. Look, they killed the baby on Erev Pesach. Why did they kill the baby on Erev Pesach? Not because of the Yerusha. They killed it because they needed the blood. So therefore, when they printed the new Vilna Shas in the late 1880s, so therefore they changed the abbreviation over here to Ayin Reish Hey, which could be understood as Erev HaRishon, instead of spelling it out as Erev HaPesach. Fascinating insight. What the Jewish people went through during these blood libels, Rahman al-Islam, lo alein. Let's finish off through the Mishnah real quickly. The Gemara says now, of course, the Mishnah, Omushmeh Mechule. We said that the two of them, husband number two and husband number three, can't get together and say, we'll only give each 50%. So Gemara tells us an interesting maisa. How Gabra, once was a man, the Ogre Leire Chaya Lechabre Letchina, he had rented out his mill to somebody, but not for cash, Rashi says. He rented out the mill to somebody and said, you'll pay me back by grinding my flour. So it was a deal. It was a barter. I'll give you my mill. You can use the mill to your heart's consent and earn money from it. And in turn, you're going to grind my grain for free and give me flour. Okay. The Sophia there, the person who had rented the mill to his fellow. Let's say Reuven had rented the mill to Shimon. So Reuven now became rich and he's able to go and buy for himself another mill, Zovin Rechaya, and now he also buys a donkey, Vechamra. So he doesn't have to do the back-breaking work of grinding. He has a donkey that turns and turns and turns the millstone and grinds his flour. So he's able to now grind his own flour. So he goes to Shimon, the one who he had rented his original Rechayim to, and he says to him, Amalek, until now, you were going and paying for the mill by grinding my grain, but now I can grind my own grain. Hashta habliagra, and therefore go and pay me money instead of now giving me ground flour, because I can grind it myself, and therefore give me money. So Amalek, the guy Shimon, who had rented the mill, said, sorry, buddy, mitran techidinallah. I'm going to go and continue to grind flour for you if you give it to me, and that'll be your payment, but I'm not giving you cash. So they went to Din Torah. They went to Ravina. So Sava Ravina Lameima, Ravina originally thought to say that this is exactly our Mishnah. Hainu Masnesa. After all, we said in our Mishnah the two people can't get together. The husband number two, husband number three can't get together. Lo yomu shneim hari anu zonah no soki achad. They can't say, listen, we promised mizonos. We'll make sure she has mizonos, but each of us is only going to get 50%, and together she'll have 100% of the mizonos. Elo chad zonah. We said, no, husband number two or husband number three gives her the mizonos, and the echad knows he loves the name mizonos. The other one will give her the value in money. So Ravina wanted to say the same thing over here. You agree to go and pay for the millstone with ground flour. But I don't want ground flour now. Now I want cash. As Rashi says, in Dira Maschel, Echa Zonav, Echa Dosin Law, to make Mizonos. For Law Marina, we don't say Shnam Yidlo Mizonos. We don't say that the girl should have double Mizonos. But Apple P. Shalom Pasak Law Domin Mitrila, even though they didn't arrange for money originally, they originally agreed to give Mizonos. But now that you have two people providing her with Mizonos, so one will give her Mizonos and the other will give her money. El Mizonos, Chayvu, Losses de Mayim. In this situation, instead of the Mizonos, they have to give money. Kishyesh lo Mizonos from Hokamacher, since she has Mizonos from the other husband. So Hochanami, so to over here. Afabi Shalom Pasak El Trina, even though Shimon had originally agreed to pay for this with grinding, but now, Achshav Sheino Tzarech, since Reuven says, I no longer need your grinding, Yitain Damim, give me the money. So Ravina thought this was exactly analogous to our Mishnah. However, Amalei Avira tells him, no, that's wrong. Me dami, the two cases are not alike. They're not comparable. Because Hasam, in the case of our Mishnah, where you have the husband number two and husband three, each having to give him his own nose, so what do you expect of that? She's going to eat 200%? Hasam, chad kreis isla, she has one stomach. So obviously, they can't give her twice as much mizonos. So one will give her mizonos, one will give her the main mizonos. So Takti creates also less. She doesn't have two stomachs that she would benefit from having twice as much food. So therefore, one gives her food, one gives her money. But Hacha, in our situation, Matza Amile, the person who rented Shimon, can say to the person who had rented to him the mill, he can say to Reuven, listen, Tichon Vizabin, in your beautiful new mill with your new donkey, go and grind all the grain that you want and go and sell it. And meanwhile, Tichon V'Yosef, I will grind your grain in my old mill that you had, and I'll pay you with the flour. And I want to keep it that way. I don't want to give you money. So therefore, Avira tells Ravina the two cases are incomparable. However, he qualifies it. Below Amar, we only said that they're not comparable. Ela de lesle techino le rechaya. That's only in the case where Shimon doesn't have an overflowing customer list. He's not milling all the time. So he's waiting and waiting and waiting to have people come and mill. So therefore, if he has to pay cash, he would lose out. However, Avol Isle Techina L'Richaya, he has plenty of people coming. And on any given day, his mill is running full operation. So therefore, in that situation, Kigon Zu, where he could grind the mill for all of his customers and have plenty of money to pay Reuven cash instead of grinding for Reuven. So Reuven says, listen, I have my own mill now that I'm grinding my own stuff, so give me cash. So in other words, Shimon, what difference does it make to Shimon if he grinds somebody else's grain and turns it into flour and then sells it and then takes that money and gives it to Reuven? So in that situation, it would be Midas Sedol. Because to Shimon, it doesn't make any difference. What difference does it make if I grind Reuven's grain or I grind somebody else's grain? In this way, Reuven will be happier. I'll pay Reuven the money and grind somebody else's grain. I got plenty of customers. So when there is a full complement of customers, so then in that situation, because it's Midas Sedom, Zen Nenem, Zelo Nechsar, what difference does it make to Shimon whether he grinds Reuven's grain or grinds somebody else's grain? He's grinding the grain. He's doing the same amount of work. So from Reuven's point of view, it's much better if he gets the cash. So let him grind somebody else's work, somebody else's grain, and let me get the cash, Reuven says. And therefore, Shimon has to do that because Kofen Oso Amidas Sedom. I hope I said that clearly. This, we get to the next mission. It's a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.